Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is One Tough Video Game. Fester's Quest is one tough video game with sinister mazes, deadly traps, hideous monsters, and spooky graphics. But if you make just one mistake, you start all over again. Fester's Quest, the video game from Sunsoft for the Nintendo Entertainment System. Are you good enough?
No, it's Nintendo hard. Yeah. I'm not good enough. I played this. No.
Nintendo hard. No. Nintendo hard?
Nintendo.
Hello and welcome to Play Retro. That's right, this is Play Retro, and I am one of your hosts, Scott Johnson. And don't let Uncle Fester fester too long, as Uncle Fester and Fester's Quest featuring Fester. All right?
Wow.
It's that, if that's not enough for you, then check this out. This game gives you a hand, and it will have you lurching for more.
Oh, dude, you're putting in all the horse laughs.
Terrible.
And I'm your other ghost, Brian Dunaway, and I'm not a creepy or a kooky, but I do occasionally stick a light bulb in my mouth and light my way as I enter the sewers of our small suburban area where I fight back an invading alien army and rats for some reason with my upgraded 8-bit Fester gun, a blunderbust, if you will, while smashing the turbo button as hard as I can. Neat, sweet, and have you seen Pubert?
Pubert.
Also, Pubert, that's the worst. That was the Addams Family Values when they had the kid, and then they lost the kid, and Pubert. Lurch was pushing the baby carriage on the cover. That was a good cover.
That was all right. Speaking of Pubert, the kid, what's his name? Pugsley.
He's no relation to Pubert, by the way.
No.
I looked it up.
Pugsley in that game, the 16-bit game that we will talk about today, the Pugsley Adventure thing or whatever it was called. Right. That thing features more fart sounds than any video game we've covered here on the show.
It was a game based on a 90s cartoon. You better believe.
Yeah.
There was some fart sounds.
Yeah, they farted like crazy. I didn't realize that Pugsley was known for his farting or whatever that's supposed to be about. Did he do it in the movie?
I think that didn't come about until later, but I'm not 100% sure, because I could have seen some black and white Addams Family where, you know, he farts and flames flies out of his butt. So it seems plausible in my mind, even though I don't think it ever happened.
Yeah, I don't know why it fits too. Maybe it's because I played this game this week and I went, ooh, you got to slow down on the farting. Even jumping on furniture, he was farting. Just farting all the time. Just farting. Yeah. You know, Mario goes, wing, when he jumps or what? It's not a good version of that. But whatever sound it is. Or Pac-Man goes waka waka when he eats a pill. This dude.
That's not how either one of those sound.
Kind of does. He goes, waka,
waka, waka, waka. And it's like, oh, Fozzie Bear's Pac-Man? What happened?
Good point. I'd play that. Are you kidding me? That'd be great.
Oh, yeah. But Fozzie Bear head is Pac-Man. And he would eat an energy pill and he would go, ah, ah, ah. I'd do that as a little, ah.
Exactly. Thing. Now, before we dive into all things Addams Family retro video gaming, and we'll start with Fester's Quest, we're not going to start just yet, though. We're going to talk about our week in retro gaming, and I have a weird thing to tell you. So, my goal was I was going to end up trying to beat my old score, not the world's top score, but my old top score in Miss Pac-Man. That was my goal. I was going to play that, see if I could beat my old score, which I've written down somewhere, and then I was going to come on here and go, "Hey, you guys, guess what? Scott did his thing." But instead, I found on a friend's Plex server the entirety of that stupid old Pac-Man show from the 80s.
Oh, dude.
And I watched
awesome.
I watched the whole freaking thing. I'm kind of in the background. I wasn't really focused.
Yeah,
too much.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not just you don't watch Pac-Man.
No, that's
you
for kids.
You turn Pac-Man on and you let it run and you do the thing. And I thought about you today too, by the way. But continue your story. I forgot all about this and I didn't put it in my intro stuff, but it's totally related.
Oh, all right. I can't wait to hear it. Well, I'm a fan of that cartoon, but I also know it's stupid and horrible. All right.
Right.
So I want people to understand when I say, when you watch the Pac-Man 80s cartoon, where Pac-Man wears like a suit and tie and is girlfriend, wife, lady, who isn't really Miss Pac-Man. Yeah,
because it's girlfriend, wife. It's Miss Pac-Man, and they're supposed to be a family, and he's supposed to be, the guy. You know, he's supposed to be the man of the house. They made it very,
And it was an era of just bad. There were bad cartoons. That's all. Yeah. And I still have some fond feelings for it, so I watched them. Brian, why are you holding this Super Friends VHS tape? Oh, my gosh.
I thought about you today. I was at the place today, one of the places I go to pick up old junk.
Yeah.
And they had this old junk in there. It was a Super Friends videotape. And I love Super Friends. Okay. I love Super Friends, but I just feel like I am nowhere near the fan that Scott is.
Oh, I'm a huge fan. I even have this at the handy. Look at that.
Meanwhile, at the hall, blah, 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 blah.
I love that stuff.
Oh, God, we got to do these games. And the Superman game and stuff and Batman games. We got to do those eventually.
Let's do them. We did Batman though, didn't we? Batman and Robin.
Did we do Batman? Well, we didn't do Super Friends Batman. We did Batman movie based Batman.
Yeah,
right?
We should go the old, we get back to the old school, like weird hybrid. It was almost like a little bit of the 60s show mixed with I don't know what was going on there, but Batman and Robin in that era were so dumb. They were so bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm sure there's some decent games. And also there's some Superman games that deserve our attention because it is very rare for a Superman game to be any good at all. They're all bad.
Right.
Why are they bad?
We need to do the Aquaman game too, because I remember that I played that on the GameCube and man, I kind of love that for some reason.
Really? I think it was the N64 when I played. It was the same one. They just up-resed it. I don't remember.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It was pretty bad. It wasn't good. You may remember it fondly, but I think you just kind of swam around.
Well,
and shot.
No, I think I remember it fondly because I played it while we were doing. I think we were doing the final score when I would do the old game or something.
Maybe
segment. So it's not that old. I didn't play it until not that many years ago.
Could have been the Bloop Show. I don't remember.
Could have been the Bloop Show.
Yeah, the Bloop Show. The one we never
could
did.
Could have been Bloop Show.
Called the Bloop
Show. I can look it up on YouTube because one of my more popular videos is not as popular as Jurassic Park.
Really?
Still pretty good.
That's interesting. Good. Jurassic Park takes the crown, does it?
Yeah, it does.
I'm impressed.
It takes the crown.
Let's take the crown of spooky 8-bit games. All right. Or at least we're going to start with one. And let's do it now. Oh, you know what I forgot to do? Hold on.
Shall we play a
You didn't get to say what you did in your retro work this week. Sorry.
Oh, well, I did my show and tell with the Super Friends thing, but I did pick up a CRT.
Yeah.
You want to see it?
Yeah. Let's see it. Do you have it handy there? Can you even put it on camera? Hold on, because that's hard to move around. Okay.
I got to do some stretches first.
Brian's a weirdo. He owns like 12 CRTs now. He's gotten them all on the side of the road. Oh, my gosh. What is this thing? Sony?
I wish. I thought it was at first. It is a flat screen, and this is just an RCA. It's a 14-inch. I don't remember them making one this fairly
either.
Decent, but it's a true flat. It's got S-video inputs in the back. It's got component on the side. It's a really good size for retro gaming and hooking up all your 16 and 8-bit systems. I'm pretty excited.
Wow. I saw something that you would have liked, and I meant to forward it to, and I totally forgot. So I'll try to remember it now, even though I don't have the link. But Sony, the last Sony television they made that was a CRT,
right,
also had the very first iteration of HDMI in it.
Oh,
and I didn't know that. I didn't know there was crossover there.
I didn't know that either.
It was like 05 or something. 04, 05, something like that. Mm-hmm. And I saw this thing. I went, oh, I got to send this to Brian. And then I completely forgot about it. So that's how that goes.
You got to do it. Oh, by the way, also people are making fun of me this past week when I was doing my Emu VR stuff. Mm-hmm. I was doing. I got my Oculus Quest 3.
Yep, Mr. VR over there. You have
Meta
VR man.
Quest 3, and I've been playing Emu VR. Is where you play. You can get into a virtual old school room like from the 90s, and you can play video games on virtual CRTs.
Wow.
People were making fun of me because I was doing that virtually when I have CRTs right behind me.
Damn, dude. That's
my
cool.
room is essentially that room in VR. And it's like, why is Brian doing that? Mm. Why is he? All right. Fine, okay.
Yep.
But they're not wrong. They're not wrong. I didn't think about it.
Well, what's crazy is the last CRT rebuilder or builder, the people that made made them work again or made new ones, closed in 2010. The last one in Europe, which is called RACS, which is located in France, closed in 2013. We're done fixing them now. We're done.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a TV guy in town still who I think still does.
What does he do? How does he work on those? Like, what does he actually do to those things?
Why does he know? You don't have a lot. I mean, you got some magnet. You can pull out the screens and stuff if they get too close to, like, you know, something magnetic or something. You know, and it's just replacing capacitors and that kind of stuff. As long as nothing major goes wrong with these CRTs, which they don't usually.
Yeah.
Not like a lot of HDMI stuff. Like, I've had plenty of cheap modern TVs that just, like, they die. But, you know. That's what you pay for. You pay $120 for, you know, 50-inch screen TV. What do you expect's going to happen?
Have you played any around with that NES thing that lets you play on your Oculus? Sorry, your Meta Quest 3 that is in AR, so it's mixed reality. But the Mario, for example, if you're playing Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers, Mario looks like almost a little bit 3D. The land he's on has some depth. What's that called? That's got a name.
I haven't played it, but somebody tipped me onto it yesterday. And what was it called? Because we was looking at the pinball VR, and it might have been on our Discord server. Somebody pointed out to me recently. I meant to check into it. I hadn't had a chance.
Oh, here it is. Gamertag VR has a whole thing. This is where I saw it.
Okay.
So Duck Hunt, they put depth on stuff. So, like, instead of the characters or the landscapes being flat, they have they added depth to the character. So here, this guy's playing Duck Hunt at the moment. But you can see, like, the bird's got some depth. The dog definitely has some depth. The land has some depth. It is wild to me.
I'm excited. Yeah, that's so cool looking.
I want to play this so bad. And, oh my gosh, Ghosts and Goblins. I would never do this to myself. but I do want to play, like, Mario Brothers looks amazing.
Right.
What else did I see? I saw something else that was just, like, crazy cool. Yeah, see, look at this. Look at this.
Yeah.
I got to get Quest 3. Why?
I dig this. I'm telling you, man, the Quest 1 was fine. I actually really liked the Quest 1. Wasn't a big fan of the Quest 2. It was okay.
Really Quest 2 just wasn't a huge jump. Quest 2 was like a little lighter, a little faster. Yeah. Battery life wasn't great. Like, it wasn't a huge leap forward. This thing?
No.
Seems legit. You know what's funny, though? I said this on Core last night. I'll say it again. The Quest 3 and what I've seen from it, including stuff like this, has sold me more on Apple's plans.
Yes,
than before, because Apple's plans look like very high fidelity focus on mixed rather than focus on VR. And I'm not saying that's ultimately what will sell the most. Also, you know, obviously the price is ridiculous, but this stuff here looks pretty damn good. It's not the best camera, but it's okay. Well, what Apple seems to be making seems like the best camera. And I'm more interested now than I was before. You know what I mean?
When I saw the one that Apple was doing, I kept thinking to myself, well, that's pointless. If you're not going to really see people's eyes, then what's really the point? We're really trying to get to the end stage instead of making something that will be available to people. Because I knew, like, partway in, I'm like, oh, God, they're not going to sell this to real people. Because having a camera on your eyes to then project on the front of the face thing, I'm like, that's like almost the most pointless thing in the universe. However, I was thinking, that's kind of cool. That's neat. And the pass-through was really good that they were showing. Here, it's pretty good. With the pass-through being color now instead of black and white, I'm able to, you know, in a lot of the games I can play where you can do the pass-through now. You couldn't always do that with a lot of older games. This one obviously does the pass-through, which is great because you don't feel so isolated. It feels like something this in AR, which is what I'm really more excited about than VR. AR is just so much more exciting.
Yeah, I think there's just something to this that's sparked a bunch of headspace for me, and now I really want one, you know. So I don't know. I guess congratulations to the Quest 3 for being cool. I don't know.
You're being cool and affordable.
Relatively speaking, it's a big jump from the 2, but it's a lot less than what Apple's working on. It's a lot less than other high-end devices. So and it also seems to be just a really good mix of mixed reality. It's a good combo,
right? And Bo's got the newest one too.
He got it as well. Yeah, you and him are twinners on this front.
We're buddies.
Yeah,
we're VR buddies.
You're bastards. That's what you are. You're bastards.
Bastards. Very bastards.
Okay. What I meant to do before I cut you off and didn't talk about your VR stuff or your retro stuff this week is talk about our topic this week, which is all about the Addams Family games from the 8-bit era up through the 16-bit era, and we'll start with Fester's Quest. A lot of people remember this. A lot of kids had this on their NES consoles. I had this game. I remember really liking it back in the day. I can tell you now, I think there is a better game in this lineup than Fester's Quest, but at the time, it seemed like the bomb. Let's play a little bit of it so you can hear a taste. I got a question about this.
Here's some fighting.
Here's my question.
Yes.
So this what you're hearing here is fine, but never in Fester's Quest did they seem to have the money or the music license to play the Addams Family theme. And I don't know why that was.
Going forward, you would hear the Addams Family theme in just about every other game after this. And it was a pretty good argument that this didn't have to be the Addams Family. This was a time for, you know, the intellectual property wasn't necessarily a big thing. As a matter of fact, I want to say that Sunsoft got this from the interviews I read, that Sunsoft got the IP pretty cheap. They got
nobody knew the money you were going to be able to get out of video games. No. That was new
plus
business.
The only thing we saw about the Addams Family at that time was syndicated reruns of the black and white TV show from the 60s.
That's right. And you mentioned, by the way, that Fester's Quest was a Sunsoft joint. And you may think, oh, I've seen that name on a million Nintendo titles later. And that's true. They would become kind of a prolific regular under the Nintendo name. And in fact, Nintendo published many Nintendo IP-based games that were developed by Sunsoft. They became a sister studio in a way. Never quite lost their independence, though. It's not like, who is it, Camelot? I think Camelot is purely a Nintendo studio now, I think.
Right.
Camelot.
Sunsoft has a really good history as well, and I'm really tempted to buy. There's a really good book that I saw this week while doing my deep dive, and it's all about Sunsoft and their history, and I'm pretty interested. $30 still. It's a hardback. I don't know if they have a digital version yet, but I'm still looking.
Well, here's the basics of it. Uncle Fester's enjoying a quiet night when suddenly a UFO appears. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. UFOs.
He's moon bathing, as the joke goes, toward the Addams Family.
Just out there getting some moon rays, you know. That's what Fester does. And anyway, it unleashed a whole bunch of problems on the city, so it's up to Uncle Fester to thwart the otherworldly threat and protect his home. It's like mazes. I didn't like the speed of it. Now playing it again, I think I didn't notice this when it was new, but he's really slow, dude.
He is really slow, and if he gets hit by certain enemies, he gets even slower, and you can't fix that until you get, which took me a while to figure this out, you can get some clamps. I don't know exactly what the clamps do, or vice grips. There's vice grips, and I guess he puts those on his junk and it makes him go faster? I don't know, but he's, This is one of those games where you have hit the select menu and you'll have options for pickups that you'll get along the way. And I think vice grips are one of them, and it kind of counteracts what you're doing here. Yeah. And if you got like a start out with a 2 health bar, so you get 2 hits, which is real easy to get hit, by the way. And you can re-energize that by collecting money as you shoot aliens and then go into a hot dog stands, because that's what Uncle Fester does.
It's what
how he powers up.
That's right. He also cheats a lot by using Lurch as a destroy everybody power, and it drove me a little crazy how easy that was. It kind of made the game a little easy, in my opinion.
This game is at its base NES hard, but it is a rewarding game.
Yeah.
That lets you upgrade your weapons and as you go along. So if you make smart choices and you collect things and use them at the right times, and you learn the patterns of the bad guys, the enemies, you're going to get greatly rewarded. The way from, you'll notice when you start shooting things that they drop, you know, aliens drop things like these jumping eyeballs will drop either, you'll sometimes drop money, they'll drop light bulbs, which you can use for exploring dungeons. Which, by the way, the first time I did this, I did not know how to freaking turn the light bulbs on. And so I was just walking through the freaking dark dungeon shooting stuff. Didn't work out well. Yeah. but you also can pick up weapon upgrades. Yep. So you start out with a really crappy blunderbuss that he has. Yep. And as you collect guns, it improves. The bullets get better. And it has all different kind of patterns. A yep. lot of pattern stuff. I watched a whole video on the breakdown of the patterns and how all this. It's like a 30-minute video. Yeah. I can't believe I watched the whole thing.
No, there's a lot to it. It's stuff I didn't notice when I was playing it. I just remember going, oh, yeah. These are a pain in the ass.
You know? It breaks down all the hitbox stuff, how that works. Really interesting video. If you ever want to watch something boring, let me know. I'll send it.
And we didn't mention it, but this is a 1989 release, and this is before the films. Yeah. So this isn't based on the films, based on the TV mm-hmm. show.
Yeah.
And the TV show, even Uncle Fester running side to side here, very much resembles the Uncle Fester of the television show.
Oh yeah. The Lurch is 100% the Lurch from the, from the 60s show. And the guy that you might've seen also in the Star Trek episode, which I love. I can't remember the guy's name.
The Traveler guy. Wait, not Star Trek. Not the original Star. Wait.
Yeah. The Lurch was on the original Star Trek. He was in one episode where, Kirk goes down to a planet and there's some lady there and he's like some kind of big brute.
Well, isn't the real, so the Lurch from the films though is also Waxana Troy's bodyguard in TNG.
Ted Cassidy, that's it, Ikor. Yeah.
Right.
There may be some more Star Trek connections as well, but that was the one I knew from just back in the day.
Yeah, I remember Deanna's mom had a bodyguard, and I'm pretty sure it was Lurch. The movie Lurch, I think.
I think everybody needs a Lurch.
No, I think, I am the Lurch in my family. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I think you're right. Isn't that, or are you thinking of the Traveler, this Will Wheaton's?
No, different dude. Different dude.
Okay, just different.
I don't think that's even this. I mean, he's Lurchy. He's Lurchish.
He is Lurch.
Yeah, he would go to the Church of Lurch, that guy.
He would go to the Church of Lurch. Yep. I love it.
Lurch Church.
Oh, but one of the most frustrating things about this game, I went in, I kind of hated it. When I got through this week, I found that it was the most compelling of all the games because it has some of the most unique gameplay mechanics, even mm-hmm. though it doesn't heavily feature the Addams Family in the way that I would like. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get to knock on doors and you get to see Wednesday from the TV series.
Yeah, they're basically cameos, though. They don't treat
them. They're little cameo shots. Yeah, and it doesn't really make sense. Aliens come to town? What? And I don't remember ever Fester having to go out and shoot aliens. But anyway.
And I'm fine with that, by the way. The weirder you get with your premise, the more I'm into it, actually. Right. I kind of like that part of it. My biggest complaint of the entire game is the mazes are impossible for me to navigate without getting frustrated. They're just aimless. Yeah. There's no indicators on where to go next. You kind of need to memorize it to get anywhere you want to go. And I hate that so bad.
Yes.
You really struggled there.
You really easily get into hedge mazes of the town so easily. And that becomes very frustrating. I'm with you. No map, no battery saves. So everything's password saves. The good news is you can do the password saves in this one. Anyway, you can do continues. If you upgrade your weapon, whether it be a gun or a whip, if you upgrade it, you can still continue on and you don't lose your weapon, which is good. But then again, also, I found areas where I might want to downgrade my weapon. And how do you downgrade your weapon? Well, you have to wait for a drop. And if it is a pink drop, then it'll downgrade whatever it says. So if it says gun or whip, it'll downgrade it one level. If you find one that's blue, it upgrades it. So it doesn't come into big time play. As a matter of fact, it gets kind of frustrating because you'll accidentally, go through an area where you're just shooting it up and then you just walk right over a pink and you lose your weapon down a level. You're like, son of a butthole.
This central computing boss that you see here?
Yeah, this is the final boss, I believe. Is this the queen alien?
Maybe. I can't remember how. All I know is when I encountered this, it was one of the most frustrating things I'd ever done in a video game, and I died over and over and over.
That's because it's a top-down, sort of kind of top-down, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of top-down three-quarters, but not quite. And he doesn't really face the bad guy here.
This guy's kind of not cheating, but he's found the exploit where you hide in a little corner that never gets a bullet. Yeah. And then just
that happens a lot in this game. If you walk, here's a tip. If you walk along the hedges in town, lots of times the aliens will not spawn in the middle of the road. So
great.
Yeah.
So this is that era, though. This is what you did. They didn't patch this shit out. It's a cartridge.
No.
Right. You just played it. And if you found a little sneaky sneak, you did it.
Yes.
And it was okay. Everybody was like, no, you're not only is it okay, they were like encouraging it. Here's this today's issue of Nintendo Monthly, or no, Nintendo Power. And here's a whole thing on Fester's Quest. Guess what? You can stand in this one little spot and never take a shot. Congratulations. Yes. You're the winner.
Yeah. I wonder how the developers felt about that when Nintendo Power would give that little bit of, hey, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. By the way, I don't know if they did the people who did the manual for Fester's Quest for the NES.
Yeah.
They even suggested in it that you should totally get the Joy-Cons or what you should get the controller with the turbo fire. And everything changed when I was playing this game and I turned on the turbo button. Fester is a badass.
No,
and this guy who's playing, by the way, definitely had the turbo button on, because you don't get that kind of rapid fire without that.
Yeah,
they recommend it.
I wouldn't call it cheating. I would call it upgrading your play a little bit.
Upgrading your play. Is that what was the advertise? They did have advertising like upgrade. It was called upgrading your play.
That sounds like a great name for it.
That sounds like the right marketing for it. Look at Fester, and the town is so excited.
I hate this ending screen. It's so bad.
And then next week they'll all hate them again. They all hate the Addams family. They're bringing down property values in their creepy, kooky mansion of a house.
Yeah, I used to love the show back in the day. I was a fan as a kid of that show.
Dude, I loved it. I like this and the Munsters, but I got to say, I don't think the Munsters holds up as well.
No, the Munsters doesn't hold up as well. I wish it did. I also wish that Rob Zombie thing was good. It wasn't.
Yes.
I think there's something to love about the Munsters, but for me and my money,
I still like it.
It's okay.
I just don't. Yeah,
it's okay. I just think Addams Family is just a better. It's a better thing.
It goes all the way back. It is such a wonderful premise that no one else really explores because the space has already been occupied.
Yeah.
And all the way back from the 1930s cartoon of the Addams Family, the one that came in the newspapers, you've got this family that is all involved with death and pain and everything else, but they love each other so much.
It somehow worked.
Dedicated.
And I think the new Friday Wednesday show is really good.
Wednesday.
I don't know why I said Friday. I like what the hell's, Friday with Ice Cube and all them guys.
It's
great. Yeah, it's good stuff.
It's totally adjacent to Addams Family.
Yeah. Absolutely. Bye, Felicia and all that. It's great. Anyway, so that's that one. Now let's talk about the movies. The movies come out and they're like, you know what? We're going to make another game and we're going to call it The Addams Family. Simply that. And they're going to put it out on everything. And they did.
Everything.
And it sounded like this. So as you can tell, we've upgraded a little. We're in the 16-bit era there. This is the Super Nintendo version that I captured from.
That's the one I played.
That's the
I
one.
Thought that was No, I played the I might have played the Genesis version. They're very
They're very,
very
similar. Yeah, the sound once again the sound is better on the SNES. The movement and speed is better on your Genesis. Pretty typical of how that stuff worked out when you did ports. But it's
I think only the TurboGrafx CD was the only one that was wildly different.
Oh, I didn't know they made one on there. That's one I didn't know about. Interesting.
Yeah, I didn't know about it either until our friend Tonda Goser.
Tonda Goser.
He grew up with those TurboGrafx, so he's always my source for that.
Yeah, he's your TurboGrafx. He loved it. He thinks that should have been the dominant console of the era.
Absolutely.
Sure. Yeah, and I don't blame him. There are some cool things about that console.
Oh, totally.
But it didn't really work out that way. But anyway, this game is a lot more like, hey, what if we made a really difficult Mario-style game? And we side scroll it, and we have Gomez with his freaking foil killing stuff that look like Mario enemies. And the answer is yes.
Yeah, look at those flying fish things. Man, that is totally stolen.
Oh, yeah.
I guess it's supposed to be birds or something. I don't know what it's supposed to be, but man, that is the flying fish 100%. Look at those armored.
The little armored dudes with the pointy hats. Yeah, they're stripped right out of Mario. Like, I don't care who you are. There's no way that's original. But that's fine. In fact, you could almost say this looks like he's got the mustache and he looks like a Mario guy, you know? So
plus he's Raul Julia. He is definitely based off the actor who played Gomez in the 1992 film. So, yeah.
You know what made me a little sad. They didn't do any VO in these games. And I kind of think that would have been
cool. No, I wish they could have had some VO in this game. They really put their attention in the sprite work. This is a beautiful It's yeah. so beautiful.
Animated game. Real good. Game. The characters are super well animated. I don't like Gomez staring at me when he holds still, but whatever. Can deal with
his
it.
His idle animation is a little bit discerning.
Absolutely. I found this extremely hard, though. I died a ton, and I gave up eventually because I think this game is punishing.
Yeah.
I just don't know what I'm doing.
It looks like a Mario, but it is not tight like a Mario platformer. It is very loose in its gameplay, and I did not actually care for the gameplay that much.
Yeah, it's not the best game. It's not the best. Yeah. It looks good, but I just died a lot. I think the Ghouls and Ghosts is maybe a good comparison. There's a difficulty that feels a bit like that. And I never played this back in the day. This was my first exposure to it, so.
Yeah, I never played it back in the day either, but you're definitely jumping on top of the aliens to kill them. You eventually pick up some weapons like rocks. He's using a sword right now, which is fencing sword.
Yeah.
Which is spot on for the movie. A lot of movie tie-ins. You're exploring the Addams Family Mansion. It goes right along with the story where Dan Hedaya. Yeah, he plays it in the movie. He does it so well. Christopher Lloyd. Angelica Houston, Raul Julia. God, I love that movie so much.
The movie's great. That movie is way better than it deserves to be. And I think a lot of it is on the backs of Raul Julia, which actually makes it obvious to me why that you would use him as your main character in this game.
Right.
Because he's kind of the main character of that first movie. Fester a little bit more in the second movie in Family Values.
Yeah, Fester in the first one was lost. Dan Hedaya had found him. And apparently Christopher Lloyd had gotten lost and lost his memory. So he was Fester, but they didn't realize that in the movie. So they were trying to pass him off as Fester, but he really was Fester in the end. So really weird twists and turns.
What did we just see? We just saw some with Dan Hedaya. Oh, the Blood Simple. We saw him in that.
Blood Simple. Yeah, on the film sack. Yeah, we watched the Blood Simple. He was really good in that. He played dead real good.
Oh, he was great. He was a great dead guy. He
wouldn't die.
Yeah, hell yeah. Wouldn't die, would he? For a while there, that took work.
That was a lot of work. Yeah. There was nothing simple about that death.
No, it was blood hard.
blood hard.
Anyway, it's cool. It's just not the one I enjoyed playing the most because it just is so damn hard. And this is Ocean now taking over the reins. And they would do so for the rest of these. It's all Ocean from here forward.
Yeah,
I believe. Right.
No, I think it was actually Sunsoft still.
Was this still Sunsoft?
I don't think we got into Ocean until Pugsley's Scavenger.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, I'm sorry. Pugsley's Scavenger Hunt, Addams Family Values. I always mix this one up with Family Values. That's why I do that. But yeah, Ocean was a big name in the latter part of the 16-bit era, and you'd see them all over those new ones. And
Halloween this is right now, though. If you're watching on screen, Gomez is jumping through the graveyard and there's flying pumpkins, the great pumpkins flying through the air. This is perfect Halloween fare. If you haven't played it before, why not fire up the Addams Family from 1992 on the SNES or the Genesis or any console?
Yeah, give it a look.
Emulate that bad boy. It's a lot of fun for a little while until you get frustrated with the gameplay.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now, I'm going to now introduce you to my least favorite of all of these.
Oh, really? Really? Is it because of the... I'll let you tell me.
Okay, so here's the reason.
Yes.
Well, this is hard to say.
Just tell me what it is.
Because my favorite is the one after this, but we'll talk about that in a minute. This is Addams Family... The Addams Family : Pugsley's Scavenger Hunt from 93.
Yes.
And this thing is 100% made for the kiddos. Mostly your 11-year-old fart-loving boys, okay? If you got a boy in the house that loves the sound of him farting on things and, you know, poop humor and whatever, Pugsley is your man. But I did not like this game at all. I found it to be really frustrating to play and really awkward to control, and I did not like this game very much.
It is odd because this plays very similar to the previous, and this is supposed to be a sequel to the other, but it's also a...
it's like a spinoff.
It's a spinoff from the cartoon, which was on the Addams Family cartoon, which I did like pretty good. I haven't seen it in many years, so I got to go back and watch to see
it. It's a 90s cartoon?
Very 90s.
I don't remember it.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
It's very 90s. So if you liked that, you probably like this game. Similar humor and, you know, just childish humor jokes. Not as creepy or kooky as the others.
Here's some sound so you can get some fart noises. Hold on, let me go back here. Hold on.
Gotta do that scavenger hunt.
Here we go.
The name is right from the title there.
Hear it?
Yeah.
Here's Steve does more. He farts a lot, dude.
He farts a lot. We were enamored with farts. But once again, it's one of those platformers working with, it's very, you know, Mario, but now we're in the 16-bit stuff.
I got 7-Up Spot vibes.
Oh, that's a really good comparison.
Mm-hmm. The way it moved.
Because the platform is not great, and it's real easy to, like, hit your head on something and miss your jump. It's very similar to that. I think you're right.
And some serious bullshit in underwater levels. I hate them.
Oh, yeah.
Hate them in all games, not just this, but I don't like them at all. And this game has an egregious section of underwater bullshit that I would like my time back for, because I hate it.
I would like my time back. If I had this on the Game Boy, Game Boy Color, I might would play it. It doesn't look nearly as good as this SNES version, but it's still playable.
Yeah.
This thing seems more like it would be a good Game Boy Color thing to
me. Yeah. You know what? Yes. Game Gear, Game Boy, GBA even. You know, little portable thing. Go to pizza. Your parents are talking about life and politics, and you can play this in the corner.
I'm not firing this thing up on my TV at home.
Hell no. Hell no. Sorry, Pugsley, but you're not that great.
Sorry, Pugsley.
You're not.
And
that
actually,
great.
I did. I played this on my. After I started playing it for a couple of minutes on my PC, I was like, "Oh, you know what?" I was like, "This is going to play a lot better."
Yeah.
On my Ambernic RG.
Yeah, that's where I played it. That's where I played it too. It was okay.
That's where it works.
It was okay. It works better there, but I still think it's the worst of the batch. But if I'm going to tell you now the best of the bunch, it's this one. Not just because of the music.
It's the best music so far.
It definitely. Okay. Now you might hear this and go, okay, well, Scott, what's the big deal? Well, let me show you some video. People at home.
Let me show you.
For people who are not at home, you won't see this, but Addams Family Values was not as good a movie as the first movie. And I think everybody just wrote it off and said, well, none of the games are going to be any good either. But this one is my jam. This is my favorite of the bunch. I think it's a combination of incredible sprite work. I love what Fester looks like. And I love that Fester is the star of a game again.
Yeah.
And it is basically like, hey, remember Fester's Quest? What if we made that better and newer? And what if we had some of the coolest sprite work I've ever seen on a 16-bit console? It's so good.
Yeah.
And so detailed and fresh. I didn't feel like I was getting lost like in the more, you know, maze-like game of Fester's Quest. There's a lot of variety to where you go. There are caves and there are waterways and there are bridges. And in a way, it was kind of like a Zelda world.
It's very Zelda-like. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Link's Awakening kind of era.
Very much so.
Yeah,
and I really like that. In fact, this is the one that I was like, I think I could keep playing this.
I think I could too. I didn't finish it, but I definitely made a little ways into it. I think the difficulty could have started out a little bit lower because there was a time when I was like, I don't know if I was just doing something wrong, but I couldn't get past even like the first task. And I was like, what am I doing wrong? But yeah, look at this menu system. Look at this select menu system. My God, yeah, they definitely borrowed from Zelda. If you're going to borrow from someplace, this is a good place to borrow from.
Yeah, it's clear its inspirations are Zelda-based, but it's fine with me. And instead of having hearts, you gather skulls.
Yes.
And the skulls start to add up to till you have like a string of skulls up top for harder encounters and that sort of thing. There's some like light RPG elements, like we said, inventory management stuff that is, you know, kind of ahead of its time a little bit, or at least, you know, Zelda-ish in its implementation. Yeah, yeah. And I think the tone is more correct for the world. It's just very dour, a little bit dark. He looks like Christopher Lloyd, weirdly. But in a very cartoony way. That?
He's such a little, he's such a chibi little thing, but he kind of looks like a Christopher Lloyd. I don't know. They did good. They did good.
They got dialogue trees. Look at him as a little frumpy head. Oh, I love it. Yeah. Running around in that dumb coat.
It's a very engaging game. It is challenging without being overly challenging. And you feel like you said, it feels fair. This game feels fair. Yeah. Unlike some of these previous games where it just felt unfair. I'm like, come on.
And I think the graphics are just for real. Like, very good.
Yeah.
This looks like somebody today would go, hey, I got a new indie pixel title I made. And I believe them.
Absolutely. Yes.
This looks like something that doesn't age much at all. And you run in, there's the same thing where you run into other characters. Like you spend some time with Morticia out in the field somewhere. And
yeah, they give you little quests and things. Yeah. This is truly Fester's quest. They give you more.
Oh, questing. Way, way more. Like, that's what I'm saying here is I don't think they marketed it as such, but this is like big time spiritual successor to the game everybody thought they loved.
Right.
And I just think it's a better version of that. I just really like it. I mean, look at this swamp. Like,
I love having the lightning hands too. Just right. Oh,
yeah.
The gate.
Yeah. You're like, you're what are you? The Emperor in Star Wars, man.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's what Fester, he did that in the movies. Mm-hmm. So that made sense. It they played right into the movies.
It fit. This is underrated, and I think this is the one I would play more of. I think people should check this one out if you're playing a lot of SNES games. This is the best version of that. The Genesis one was okay. Mm-hmm. Wasn't great, though. It was okay.
And that's the other bad thing is all of these games we've talked about today, sometimes we can go, oh, you just head over to the, to the Nintendo store and you can pick this up. No, you cannot. This is not readily available anywhere on any store that I know of.
No. You have to emulate it or get a cartridge or
I had to emulate it. I think I emulated all of these except for the thing we're going to talk about worth a mention. I actually owned that. But other than that, it was all emulation for me this week.
Yeah.
No good old games or nothing.
You guys should check it out. And the reception at the time was strong. It's not like this wasn't, this wasn't poorly reviewed and now suddenly we've discovered it again. It's always been generally liked. But also it came late in the anyone caring about Adam's Family stuff, I think. So a lot of people just didn't play it. And I think that's a shame. So
Speaking of reviews, one thing back to Fester's Quest real quick. I like going over to Moby Games. Moby Games has a really great list of reviews. So it's real easily accessible for what people think. Sometimes they're from magazines, sometimes they're from online blogs. So you can look at them really quickly and easily. You can sort by the ratings. And I was curious about Fester's Quest because I really liked it in a way because I thought the gameplay was so unique. Mm-hmm. But I understand people not finding the gameplay, intriguing or anything like that. So, but anyway, Nintendo Life from 2010 gave Fester's Quest, that first one we talked about, a 10%. They said Fester's Quest is bad. It could be one of the most horrible. It could be one of the most horrible games for the NES. Ouch.
Damn, dude.
Which in a way is fitting. If the Addams Family themselves were to play a video game, they may have chosen this one. So they know about the Addams Family lore, right?
Yeah.
A group of people that enjoys being tortured and blown up may just enjoy it. It's almost as if this is a working prop for the show. Wednesday's favorite video game is impossible to play and no fun at all. Ouch.
Wow.
This is one for the history books. The boring, repetitive, uninspired, franchise-destroying history books.
Wow.
Ouch, Nintendo Life.
Wow. See, and I think a lot of people disagree with that. As much as I think that game's a little hard and doesn't hold up as well over time, I think it, right. I mean, people like
I think the gameplay is consistent. I think there's a lot of game mechanics. I think it's a really interesting game mechanics, a mix of game. I think it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. But I'm just saying, for my money, The big winner here is this one.
Yeah, that definitely has, I think, the most replayability, unless you're looking at some kind of, you know, speed run or something like that. I think you're right. I think just the moment to moment gameplay of Addams Family Values from 1995 is just, yeah,
it's solid, dude. It's real good.
Yeah.
Now, many of you are going, Scott, Brian, we know you know about this pinball machine, but why aren't you talking about it? Well, we're going to talk about it. All right. We're going to talk about it. In fact, we're not just going to talk about it. We're going to hear some of it. We're going to look at some of it. Here it is.
Welcome, my next guest.
Now we got some VO, dude. Listen to that. You can hear Christopher Lloyd. You can hear Raul Julia. What are we talking about? Well, the pinball machine, which was
the best-selling pinball machine of all time, Scott.
It's also considered one of the best pinball games of all time, period.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, people love this shit. They're into it. I like it. This game is amazing. If I had an actual, you know, in the room version of this pinball machine, I'd be the most popular person in the state. They'd all come over here. The entire state of Utah. They're all here. Yeah.
Right.
All kidding aside, though, you can actually play this on the FX thing, right? The FX collection deal.
And that's how I played it, because I didn't have access to a physical machine. So I hit the Pinball FX. If you're not familiar with that, you can get the free client on Steam or such places as that. And then you can purchase tables. I think right now the Addams Family Pinball table is on sale for $3.99 and will be until the 1st of November. So now's a good time to pick it up and experience the digital version
of
the Addams Family
Pinball. It's a very, very good game.
It's a pretty faithful translation from what I remember, because I've played it before, but it's been many years since I've played the real physical Addams Family Pinball. But it seemed pretty, genuine to the original article, except for the part where when you're shooting the ball, like when you're launching the ball, they have a graphic where it's Gomez golf club over top of the pinball and hitting it, which is fine.
It's
fine. Actually a little bit annoying to me.
Is it annoying to you? Why? Because it's not consistent with the physical game or what?
Because it's on top of the table and then it shoots it shoots through to where the ball would normally go. I'm like, well, that was pointless. Don't do that. You're ruining my immersion.
I'm torn on that because we had a whole episode on this, but I love video game pinball because you can do so many things you can't do with a physical table. But I think I draw the line at, hey, here's the Terminator or here's this or here's some other famous machine. And
same guy did the Terminator, right? Didn't same guy make both of those?
Both Williams, I think Williams, right, was the company. The guy, I don't know the guy's name.
Been purchased by Williams at this point, I believe.
Pinball game. Let me look that up real quick because I think you're right. And if it is the same guy, he deserves some props.
What's his name?
I'm looking.
What's his name?
Here we go. Terminator.
Looked it up.
Pinball. I can't find his name. This is one thing we're really bad at, by the way. This is Judgment Day, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, here it is. Designed by Steve Ritchie. I'm pretty sure that dude.
I'm thinking of Pat Lawler.
I'm thinking of Black Knight, and that's the other Steve Ritchie. That's an amazing. It's an amazing table.
Yeah.
But he's known for Black Knight, Flash Firepower, High Speed, Terminator 2.
Yes, and Pat Lawler is known for of course the biggest selling game pinball game of all time in Earthshaker.
There you go.
Things too.
Oh, we also did the Next Generation. I love the TNG one.
Ooh.
That's a great. Oh, that's the machine I wouldn't mind having. When he was at Stern,
I feel like I could have a good chance of. I like the fact that the Addams Family pinball game was one of the best selling, because that means there's probably a lot of them. I don't know if that means it'll make it a little bit less expensive. But I hope it will, because this would be a great addition, because this does some really modern 90s things for pinballs. It's when we went to the next step with a whole bunch of mechanical stuff, like the thing, the hand. Yeah. He's at the top of the table. And if you hit I forget exactly where you had to hit the ball, but the thing will grab the ball with like a little magnetic thing in his hand, and it'll save it for later when you get the multi-ball power up, and multi-balls start coming. Makes the multi-ball.
Dude, multi-ball is the best kind of balls. They're great balls.
Oh my God, so exciting.
Yeah, I love it. Real quick, he is still making pinball machines, this guy. So nice. He started, his very first machine was in 77, Airborne Avenger for Atari. He went on to be with Williams for a long time, then Midway Atari for a little bit, and then Stern. Oh, he did the Elvira machine.
That's see, another that's good one. Probably where I remember it from. I've probably put more hours in on, I'm not saying Elvira machine is the best machine.
You like boobs.
I'm just saying,
just say it.
That they had one in the concession area where I went to school, and every day I'd go down there and play some Elvira.
Yeah. It was just, plus you liked boobs. Yeah. I know about your boob thing.
Well, yeah, they, I don't think she ever showed you anything, but yeah, I really dug the game because it was the one. It was, I loved it because it was the one that was there, right? It
yeah,
was,
I understand.
A love of convenience.
It's the same reason I loved Ice Climbers, because it was in the 7-Eleven I was always at, you know?
Right.
I was into right it. Here. So look at this. While he's at Stern, Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines, Elvis, World Poker Tour, Spider-Man, 24, yeah. based on the TV show 24. Weird.
Wow. That is actually fun, because 24 has that digital clock countdown thing, which you would see kind of like in a lot of pinball machines. Yep. It looks very similar, very smart. Yep.
He did the Led Zeppelin machine in 2020, and his most recent... Oh, wow. Is
now this isn't the same guy. Scott's talking about the Terminator.
Yeah, I'm still talking about that guy because he impresses the hell out of me.
Not Lawler.
But he did the Elton John tribute machine this year, just this year.
Oh wow.
That dude is working. He's still working, man. All right. Oh, we did voice work in a lot of these.
Scott, we need to go to the Vintage Arcade Superstore.
Yeah.
Because I just Googled it. I've never been there. I can buy the Addams Family for a mere $17,000.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah, and I can either send them Venmo. I can send them Venmo, or I can pay monthly on PayPal.
Let's do it. Let's get it. Let's I didn't realize it was going to be that cheap. You know,
I didn't know it's going to be as cheap as a small Honda Civic. But sure, why not?
Yeah, Honda Civic with no extras. Damn, dude, that's a lot. 17 grand for a pinball machine.
It is, but man, it's a classic.
Do you remember? Oh, this is funny. Sorry to keep talking about this guy who did not make the machine we're talking about.
Who's not related to the Addams Family, but we may be a future show because Scott is pretty stoked. I love that.
I love it. I love he, listen to this. This is amazing. He is the voice of Shao Kahn in Mortal Kombat 3. What? He's also the announcer, the round two fight. He does the voice.
Are you kidding me?
No.
I love that guy.
He also did, hold on. Mortal Kombat 2 announcer in Shao Kahn. Do you do MK1? No, MK2 is where it changed, but he's the MK2 and forward voice guy.
That is amazing.
I love it. Freaking love it.
We need to do a show on this guy. We always talk about doing a creator-focused episode of some people, and he's on the list.
Yeah.
He's on the short list now.
Good job, Steve Ritchie. Your name should have been Richie Steve. All right, moving on. That's your look at all the stuff, and I'm telling you...
Oh. We're just going to pass over the Addams Family electric
shock machine. Talk about this? Yeah. So the electric shock machine, this wasn't, I guess it was a game. You describe this thing because to me, this is one of the weirdest things ever.
I don't know exactly what you're supposed to do, but essentially you stand in front of this machine and it's Fester and he's got a bulb in his mouth and it has these handles you hold. So I guess it's kind of like the love machine.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the love meter machine or whatever. And you hold your hands on these two gripper things. And the way it vibrates, it makes you feel like you're being shocked. And you got to see how long you can hold on to the gripper. And so you get a little display, little middle of the screen display. And I guess it's just to see if you can take it. It's just a gimmick. It's a gimmick. And I've never seen it. But
it vibrates very fast. So that it, at least if memory serves, it vibrates so fast that it has the feeling of, I can't hold this much longer. It's kind of like when you're using a chainsaw or a weed eater is a good one, or maybe a mower that's super rattly. And you just have to let go sometimes and shake your hands. It's like that.
Yeah. It's like that. So it's not really shocking people, but it's a fun idea, but is it really a game?
No,
I don't guess so anymore than.
No, not really.
What are those love machines? Are they called love machines? That doesn't sound right. Because every time I say love machine, I want to sing the song.
I'm a love machine.
I'm a love machine.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
What are those things called that you squeeze and it's like it reads a little. I can't remember what those things are called.
I don't remember either.
How did they make money off those things? Hey, give me a quarter and I'll let you touch my machine.
Yeah, to this day, I don't know. To this day, it's like, why is that? Why is this even a freaking thing?
Right. I saw one not too long ago. I saw where there's still where you can pay like a quarter or 50 cents to get weighed by like some kind of medical scale, some store. That was weird.
That was very weird. Made you paranoid, you know?
It did. And it always looks so weird and futuristic, or it looked odd. It didn't like any other weighing machine I ever seen before. And you would go, okay.
The blood pressure thing in Target is never correct. And that used to stress me out because it would say, whoa, your blood pressure is kind of high.
That is hilarious. Ours at Publix here is the worst. I've learned to just not use that.
Don't use it.
I'm like, you guys got to be kidding me. No. My blood pressure can't always where I'm here be this. And it's super low. That's the problem. You would think maybe because it's super high. No, it's always super low, but that cuff just like squeezes the poo out of my arm. So I'm assuming it's not calibrated properly.
No, it's not right. It's got the same guts as like a, I don't know, a pro golden tee golf in a bar or something. What is even the point? Don't have What's those. Even? Target, get rid of, maybe they don't anymore. It's been a while since I've done it.
Right. Love it.
All right. Anyway, there's your full complete look at what the Addams Family did to us in those days.
That was our Halloween episode. How was that? They were creepy and spooky. I've had a fun time doing our spooky season for the Play Retro Show. That was fun.
And who knows what's even left next year. We kind of run out of horror movie or horror games that are retro.
I don't know. I saw a lot of peripheral things that I didn't get to this time around. I was like, oh, that would have made a really good Halloween episode, so we'll see. We'll
figure out some stuff. Horror based peripherals. You know what would be on that list is that chainsaw controller for the GameCube.
Remember that would be great. Or how about that weird flesh controller from what movie was that?
Flesh controller.
The flesh controller. What the hell was that movie? Not Extra. It's not.
Existenz.
Existenz whatever it was. It was Existenz
and it was the director always makes gross stuff. Shit. He also did a couple of really great movies, Eastern Promises and History of Violence, but I can't think of his other, I can't think of his name. J. Jonah Jameson. That's it. Nope.
J. Jonah Jameson nailed it.
I can't think of his name. Hold on, I'm gonna look it up.
Fincher. I always can't remember. It's not Fincher. It's the other guy that I always think is Cronenberg.
Cronenberg.
That's it.
Duh. Apparently, his son is doing shit like this now. I want to see what that is. I want to know what young junior Cronenberg is making because his dad is a psycho.
Little Cronenberg. It sounds every time I hear Cronenberg, I always think it sounds like some kind of disorder. Yeah. Oh, he's got Cronenberger.
You got the Cronenberger?
You got the Cronenberger.
Yeah, there it is. Existenz, 1999. He did Crash, that weird wreck in the car, and now everyone wants to have sex movie. The Fly, of course.
I've had a car accident, and now I'm horny. Yeah, I love that one.
He directed 7 episodes of Star Trek Discovery.
Wow, we've had a lot of Star Trek connections today.
What the hell, man? That seems crazy to me.
It does.
There's a thing called Ape Sodom. No thanks.
Oh, my gosh. I don't...
Yeah, he's weird.
Those are two words that do not need to be sitting next to each other. Words need to take those out. Like a restraining order that keeps them this many feet apart.
Did you see Crimes of the Future? That weirded me the hell out.
I haven't seen that yet.
That's new-ish. Yeah. He's his own dude. There are very few like him, but he is ours.
Right.
ours. There's that. Now, here's a fun thing we like to do. The scariest part of the show.
Destroy it.
We're going to do a little guess my game. It's where we play old audio and we try to guess what we brought to the table.
Oh, my God. Did you copy mine or did you just happen to also do NES?
Well, I saw this. So we have NES 1990 for both of us. And we don't communicate before we do this. So there is, I guess, some slim chance that you and I pick the exact same game and we're not going to know till we play it. Because I haven't listened to yours. I have no idea until I play it. So, Brian, I'm going to play mine first. If this is what you got, I guess you can say right away. I don't know. It's fair play if you say, oh, I know that because that's the one I chose, and it's this game. It's totally fair play. All right? Here's the audio. You can tell this is an NES game.
Oh, yeah.
And I can tell you this, that music is a little familiar. It should be. It's got a pretty good soundtrack, actually.
Yeah.
And I'll say this reviewed okay. It didn't do Bank Gangbusters, but it reviewed okay for its time. Again,
based on a popular IP?
It is
first question.
First question of three. That is correct. It is based on a popular IP, especially then.
Okay.
It's lost a little luster these days, but back then everybody was really into it.
Is it a horror type game?
Yes, it 100% is. Although I didn't find it that horrifying, but it's based on a very horrifying thing, and it is based on that property, yes.
Interesting. It doesn't quite sound like the one I did, but I don't want to give away any of my clues.
Yeah, I understand.
By guessing.
Yeah.
That does sound familiar, though.
I think it's taken from the IP that I confirmed. I'm not positive on that. This music, I mean.
It's a little more jaunty than I would think, though. It's not quite what I would have thought.
It is jaunty. You're right about that.
Yeah. Is it based on a singular slasher character?
Yes, and I'll add to, so this is your third question. Yes, and I'll add to that that it is based on a singular horror character with multiple films.
Okay. It doesn't sound like, because I did Friday the 13th last week. Surely you wouldn't have done that again, right? So, and only thing left that I could think of from the NES era that was a horror game with a slasher character with multiples would be A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Let's see if you're correct. That is correct. Nicely done. That is exactly what this is. It was based on Nightmare on Elm Street, and it was okay. I played a bit of it to capture the audio. It was all right. Except that my least favorite thing about it was this music at the very beginning. Hold on. Let me turn that back up. It's barely music. It's just really annoying.
Yeah, and that makes more sense than the Friday the 13th thing. So
yeah, it's okay though. It's it's a fine game. A lot of people think fondly of it. I thought it was just kind of average, but the fits the theme of the day. A little bit of horror.
Sometimes horror. It's the theme of the day. I did the same thing. Wow. So the NES in the 1990 must have been a good year for for horror.
For horror games. Ooh, that already answers my first question. Let's play your clip. Here we go.
That's a freebie.
Ooh. All right, similar first question.
Another banger.
Is it based on a horror IP outside of games? Okay.
Yes.
Oh, I am having deja vu hard here.
Yeah. That's a good one, right?
Okay. I don't know where to start.
1990.
And it wouldn't be... You did Friday the 13th last week.
Who knows? Am I done again? I don't know.
And it's definitely not the one I did, right? It's not Nightmare on Elm Street.
No, it's not the one you did. Nope.
Based on a, did you say it was built based on a horror or sorry, a movie IP? Yeah. Like a, okay.
Yeah. Well, I didn't say it was based on a movie IP, but I will give you, it was based on movie IP.
Okay. What are we missing? Second question, was the movie IP in question, did it start in the 70s or 80s?
Started in the 80s. Great question.
That music is so familiar.
I know.
Well, I have another question, so I'll try it. Is this movie set in? That doesn't work. Hold on. Is it like creature feature type thing?
It is definitely creature, not slasher.
Okay. My guess then is Gremlins. And? No?
And?
Oh, Gremlins Take Manhattan or whatever was that? What was that called? Gremlins 2.
Right? Is with the colon.
Oh, Gremlins colon the year we make contact. No. Gremlins.
Close enough. Is Gremlins 2
I'm
the
taking
new
it.
Batch?
Oh, the new batch shit.
That's it. The new batch shit.
The new batch shit. Yeah, no, that's why that music's so familiar. That's it.
Yeah,
it's because it's Gremlins music. Okay. Gosh dang it. That took me too long.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Pixel Rage got it in the chat.
Did he get it? Nice job, Pixel Rage. He should know. He's got the name Pixel Rage, you know?
Yeah.
How is that game? Is it any good?
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Let me guess. Side scroller?
It's a platformer. It's okay. Yeah, side scrolling platformer.
That's all they made back then, I swear. It feels like.
Yeah.
It kind of bums me out a little bit. I wish there was more variety in the NES era, but that's what we were into then. So. You know,
it's top down.
Was it top down?
Platforming stuff. It's top down, then platforming, and then back to top down, and yeah. So it's very much that era.
Did the game? Did they ever have the original film as a game? Did that ever happen?
I was trying to remember when you were guessing because I was like, oh wait a minute.
Oh, this is also a Sunsoft joint. That's funny.
Yeah, that's what got me there.
Let's see. Looking right here. Now, it looks like they only ever made one for the sequel, I believe.
Yep. Well, Sunsoft was known for grabbing those IP, so it just made sense. They were very much an IP type group.
Yeah. They had some other versions. There was a version for DOS in 91. It was very poorly received. Let's see. Next batch video showed up on Amiga, Atari ST, Commodore 64, DOS, MSX, Amstrad, CPC, and the ZX Spectrum, in addition to the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Oh, chat Pixel Raid saying, yeah, Data East put out Gremlins. Ooh, was
the first one
on the Commodore 60 on the Commodore 64.
Oh, okay. But not like,
oh no.
All I just mean, it's a little more underground, you know, it's less.
Yeah. Less mainstream.
Less mainstream, right? But still, that's cool. I hope that was a good game. Well, anyway, you won this week and I lost horribly. No, I won too.
No, we both won. We both won.
Yeah, we both won, although I feel like I kind of fumbled into this finish line. You know what I mean?
That's fine. It's fine. You still crossed the finish line, even if you did cramp at about 5 feet before you got to there. So just fine. It's
wonderful.
Fine. We just carried you across.
Wonderful.
Welcome to the treasure room.
Hey, that's email sounds. That's time for to do emails, voicemails, texts, all that sort of stuff. This week, we're going to do an email and a text. The email came to us at playretroshow@gmail.com, and it came from Rhino, R-Y-N-O, not to be confused with what some people think old Republicans are for some reason, or the villain about? on Spider-Man. It's not that one either.
No, he's great, though. I wish we'd get more Rhino. We didn't get nearly enough Rhino.
There's never enough Rhino. There needs to be more Rhino. I agree. He was a high point of that Andrew Garfield run for me.
Yes.
As briefly as he was there. Rhino says, hey guys, listen to the most recent episode during Light Gun Horror Games discussion. I wanted to send a website your way. A company out of Canada who makes a home light gun setup using two light sensors you mount on your TV, similar to the Wii. While I have not purchased this myself, it has a lot of solid reviews online. Thought you might be interested. It's over at retroshooter.com/RS5. I think RS5 is the model. Let me pull it up here as well.
I just looked it up. I'm looking it up now.
Yeah.
Well, they got a flash sale going on right now. You can get two controllers with the sensors, it looks like.
For the price of one.
Only $205.
Oh.
That's get two pedals too, though. I don't know what the pedals do. What are the pedals? Is that reload? I'm assuming maybe.
Well, let's see. Wow, you got 5,125 preloaded games on this thing. Are they all shooting games? That can't be right. Oh no, it's everything like Donkey Kong. Yeah, it's just like that thing right there is like an emulation box. But the unique thing is it has these guns. You can do the guns on it.
Yeah, there you go.
Two controllers as well. Let's see. It'll play PlayStation, MAME. Atari, Dreamcast, Genesis, probably just full of, you know, it's probably the typical emulator crap in there.
Yeah.
You can get, let's see, two guns and front centers. So I'd probably just get the first one, the basic Shooter Pro.
Yeah, that's what I was just looking at. But anyway, it looks like, that's $200 for two and let's the two see. Sensors.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Pedals. Yeah, you know.
It's not bad for what you're
that's
doing.
That's about in line for the other stuff, too.
Yeah.
The Sidian, was it the Sidian Pro or whatever it is too? That's another alternative.
Yeah.
It looks like that's just the price of light gun technology to this kind of thing right now. That's right. It looks good.
I think shipping out of Canada is going to be bad though. So I'm not going to do that.
It's always better.
Yeah.
You know. But look at these guys. They're serious. They're into it. They got a guy on the front. Oh,
yeah, the Sinden.
I think that's AI art on the front.
Yeah, the Sinden light gun. That one's pretty hot too. I think you can order just one at a time though, I think. Which, I mean, if you're going to get one, you might as well get two, right?
They've got stuff we talked about on here. Lethal Enforcers, House of the Dead 2.
Yes.
Operation Thunderbolt has a fun one.
Operation Thunderbolt.
Duck Hunt's on there. And what's this one? Ranger Mission? I don't remember that. Do you remember Ranger Mission?
Is that where you're trying to catch Yogi and Boo Boo?
Yeah, they've stolen the Ranger picnic mission. Baskets again.
Yeah.
Hey, he's trying to shoot me.
Here's a good one. This is a text from Andrew from Colorado, who sent this to 801-471-0462. He says, got Fester's Quest when I was less than 8 years old, and I was terrible at it. I don't think I ever made it past the intro. And yet, it's still one of the NES games I can lay my hands on in less than 5 minutes if asked.
Oh, nice.
I just realized this is like a random video game spam. If I don't introduce myself, Andrew from Colorado. Well, thank you, Andrew. I appreciate that.
Oh, hi, Andrew.
Yeah, that's how a lot of people remember Fester's Quest. Very difficult, but they would play it right now if they had a chance. There's something about that makes a good game. I don't know. I don't know how you achieve that thing, but yeah, you do.
It's challenging. It's not impossible.
Yeah.
It just requires you to learn each pattern. So it's not an unfair game. And right. I think as long as you don't go unfair, people will stick with you.
People will stick with you. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Our next discussion, by the way, is going to be Ultima 4, Ultima 5, and Ultima 6. Now we will refer to the
phase 2.
We'll refer to phase 1 here and there where it's needed, because that's some old shit and it requires, you know, context. But we're going to focus in on what people think is the prime era for the Ultima games.
Yes.
4, which is Underground, right? I think.
I believe that is correct.
5, follow up to that, and then 6. 5 and 6 I never played. Underground I played the living hell out of. My first
on good old games.
Yeah.
4, 5, and 6 for $5.99, so everybody can play along. Very few got
first game I installed on my 486. I got one.
Yes.
Yep. Love that game. It's amazing.
And I think a lot of the European area got this on their Commodore 64, which is very popular.
Oh, yeah.
More
big
so
over there.
Probably than what got experienced.
No, that. Europe and the Commodore, dude, and the Amiga. Mm-hmm. You guys had all the fun over there. I don't know what we were doing. We were just Apple IIs and shit.
You know? Right. Is it Quest the Avatar? Maybe so. That 4 doesn't sound quite right for some reason. Is that...
I thought 4 was Underground.
The chat room saying something different. Maybe. Ultima. I think Underground was its own...
Was it its own spinoff? Okay. Hold on. Ultima 4. Quest for the Avatar. You're right. That's not Underground. What am I thinking of? Is that just a separate thing?
I think it may...
Underworld, not Ground. What did I say? Ultima Underground or Ultima Underworld? I don't know what I said.
But it felt right when you said it. It felt right. Something found it sounded right. I can't...
We may throw that in there too, because that came out in 92. That's perfect zone for this. We should talk about that.
Yeah, there... Chat room saying, yeah, Underground was later PC title. Yeah, I thought it sounded right too. Yeah,
but it's not that late.
But we'll know next week. We'll be well.
Oh, we'll be so ready to go, you guys. You don't even understand. Sometimes it's about us learning too, so it's fun.
Yeah,
we're gonna learn. We're gonna play. We're gonna have a great time, and I hope you guys do as well. That's next week. Ultima on the menu, and we'll be done with the Halloween stuff. So it'll be on to whatever we do in November. Hey, you know what else
Halloween
I'd like to...
Halloween and trick-or-treats.
Hell yeah. Be safe, by the way. Don't eat any razor blades or whatever bullshit they taught you when you were a kid.
Don't eat your razor blades and a rock.
Any rocks.
Sorry, Charlie Brown.
Or tampered with Tylenol or any of that. Any of the 80s retro scares. Don't get involved.
Right.
Satanism, all that stuff. Forget about it. It's stupid.
Yeah, don't get into Satanism if you're going.
Yeah, unless you really want to, I guess. I don't know. I don't want to tell
you. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I'm here for this. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, why not? Do what you got to do. Patreon.com/playretro is a place to support us. And I want to thank Corey W., Leland Albertson, and Corey Humphrey for being three of our many followers and supporters over at patreon.com/playretro, where you'll get no commercials ever, pre-show content every episode, and other monthly benefits that you need to go read about and sign up for at patreon.com/playretro. That's going to do it for today's show. If you're looking for stuff on the website, any other contact info, all that stuff, you can find it at frogpants.com/playretro. Brian, is there anything else you'd like to say before we go?
Yeah, I just like to let everybody know that we're multi-streaming now that Twitch has changed their policy. So we're back on Twitch as well as doing our YouTube thing. So if you're listening to this podcast and you occasionally check in on the live cast, you can find us just about everywhere.
Yeah, go. The easiest way to do it, I set it up just yesterday. Go to frogpants.tv, and that will take you to a page where you can just choose your poison, choose your platform, and go.
Go.
And we're all in there. Everyone's in the same chat. We're all talking. It's great. Just use the platform you prefer. And any support over there is also welcome.
No TV, Homer, or something, something.
Something, something. Don't mind if I do. I love that episode. I'm going to watch that this week. Anyway, that is going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening. Go play something retro. And we'll see you next time.
Get more at frogpants.com.
Spooky graphics.
Spooky graphics.
Spooky graphics.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.